Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, and we have plenty of open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to jump into Philippians in just a second, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, some of the most encouraging passages or verses out of the book of Philippians, and it really gives us a sense of hope and encouragement and trust, just this deep trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in and through us in our day-to-day lives. We woke up this morning to a very, very cold day here in the Dallas area. Ice, just really thin layers of ice all over the roads. And we had a really horrific tragedy in the Fort Worth area, just north of Fort Worth, a 100-plus car pileup and wreck, and I think nine people have died in that. Just a horrific, horrific accident, all caused by ice on the road. And our hearts just go out to those who are involved, the families that are involved, and to our listeners around the nation. Be praying for those who are involved in this as well. We certainly appreciate that indeed. Well, now to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And as I said, we've been working through this book throughout the month of February. It's a book about rejoicing. It's a book about being content in Jesus Christ. It's a book about really resting in the promises of God, resting in the presence of God, resting in the power of God in our day-to-day lives. And all of that brings about this sense of rejoicing, that we can rejoice through thick and thin. And here's one of those passages that enables us to do that. So in the first part of chapter 2, Paul gives this marvelous picture of the humility of Christ Jesus. Although he was God, he thought equality with God was not something to be grasped, so he became one of us. He found himself in appearance as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on a Roman cross. And it's through that humbleness and through that obedience and through that death on the cross that God raised him from the dead and then highly exalted him and seated him at the right hand of God the Father and has given him the name by which all men will be saved. And the name by which all men will bow their knee and say he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So in light of this story, in light of this humility, he then turns to us and says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That you have been included in this. You have been included in this story, this story of humility that leads to exaltation in Christ Jesus. You're connected with him. You're seated with him. So work that out, and work that out from an attitude of humility. Now, many folks stop right there and say, see, you have to work out that salvation, and if you don't, you're in jeopardy of losing that salvation, that it can depart from you, that you can become a lost person. Well, that's not what this is saying at all. It's just saying in humility, work out what God is working in. And that's exactly what he says in verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both the will and to work for his good pleasure. So the moment that you receive Jesus Christ came to live in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. And so Christ is at work in you with the promise that he is going to complete the work that he began. So whatever he's doing inside of you, that's part of this salvation that you now have in Christ Jesus. And he's simply saying, work that out, live it out in day-to-day life. You know that your sins have been forgiven. You know that you're a forgiven person. You know that you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, you're going to have relationships where you're going to be at odds with one another. You're going to do things to hurt one another, and people are going to hurt you. And Christ is working this attitude of forgiveness inside of you. And when you have those opportunities to extend that forgiveness to others, work it out. Why? Because God has worked that in you, and it's his will and it's his pleasure that you forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. So that's all this is saying. God is at work doing marvelous stuff inside of you. He's giving you a whole brand new set of desires, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of looking at the world around you and looking at people around you. This is all part of his work through his Spirit in you. Now, be in tune with that and then allow that to be worked out in your day-to-day life. And how does that happen? It happens through an attitude of humility. This isn't something of pride and ego and selfish ambition and those sort of things. This is humbly recognizing that you were once a sinner and had to be saved by the grace of God, and that God so loved you that he saved you and he raised you up to walk in the newness of life. And so it was in humility that you received that free gift, and it's in humility that you manifest that gift of salvation out there in the world. So know this, that every day that you wake up, God is there with you. God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Simply allow him to live his life through you. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's encouragement, and that's truth that will cause rejoicing in the heart. That God didn't save you and then said, hey, good luck, I hope you do pretty good with this, and we'll judge you at the end. No, that's not how it works. God saved you, sent his Spirit to live inside of you, and you're going through life together, and you can express this great salvation because God is at work in and through you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. So glad you've joined us on today's program. We have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you have a question or a problem situation that you would like to discuss on today's broadcast, feel free to call that number right now. It's toll-free in Canada and here in the United States. So again, 844-322-2742. We have a great resource that we want to put in your hands, and it ties into what we were just talking about working out our salvation, knowing that it is God at work in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. So when we understand that, we begin to advance in our Christian experience. We begin to grow in the grace of God. We begin to grow in our assurance and confidence in our relationship with Christ Jesus. And we begin to grow in our confidence in expressing that salvation out there in the world. So we want to put this resource called Advance in your hands, and it's available to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And your gift will do two things. It will help advance the gospel through all the media channels of Basic Gospel, and will introduce people all around the world to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will also be a resource that you can use to help you grow in your own relationship with Christ. So it's a win for our listeners as they continue to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, a win for you as you see how this grace of God has been given to you in Christ and how you can express it in your day-to-day life. So go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button and follow all the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of Advance, this wonderful CD teaching series. I know it's going to be a great encouragement and blessing in your life. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now. We would love to hear from you. We have this question from Mary, who is watching us on our Facebook channel, and she says this: what do you think about the coronavirus vaccine? Is it against the teachings of Jesus? Well, no, I don't think it's against the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have lots of vaccines, lots of medicines, lots of medical treatments that have come into existence over the last 100 years, and all of those have helped increase the quality of life that we experience as human beings. So I don't think we're ever going to look at that and say, hey, that's against the teachings of Jesus Christ. I know as far as this vaccine is concerned, there are many believers that have questions about it as far as its origins. Was it developed through the use of aborted cell lines? And I know several companies have used cell lines from aborted babies from back in the 60s and 70s in some of their testing. But as far as the development and the actual vaccine itself, that's not the case. So that leaves us in a dilemma. How do we deal with that? How do we handle that? And if I take the vaccine, am I participating in a sin that took place way back when? And was that baby aborted with the intention of harvesting these cells for medical research? Well, I don't know that we know all that information, but here's what we have to do. We have to look at it and say, what does my conscience say? Is this information that I know about the virus, is it binding on the conscience? And if so, then you need to come to a point, and as Paul wrote in I think in the book of Romans, whatever is not of faith is sin. If you judge this, taking the vaccine, to be sin for you, then you need to make a decision not to take it. Others are going to look at it, and it's not going to be sin to them. So we need to accept one another based on those different decisions that we make, based on the information that we have. But as far as the vaccine itself is concerned, I don't think it is against the teachings of Jesus Christ at all. So, Mary, thanks for that question. I hope that helps. We sure appreciate it. It's certainly a timely and relevant question, and one that is out there for all of us, because this vaccine has been rolled out and more people are taking it. And I think, you know, one of the things that we need to look at is, you know, as far as believers are concerned, is this something that's going to be for the common good? Is it going to be something that we do for the sake of others because of our love for others? And there's, like I said, there's so much information that we can bring into the mix, and I think we should all do our research on it. We should all pray diligently about it. We should look at the Word of God and then come to a decision and trust the Lord with it. So, Mary, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate it. Well, we're going to go and listen to a call that came in overnight from John in Illinois.
This is John from Illinois. My question is, salvation is grace. After we're saved, how does James fit in there? Faith without works is dead. Could you explain that? What kind of works is he talking about? Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Well, John, I don't think the question really or the emphasis should be on works. The emphasis should be on what is faith? What is the definition of faith? Is it just lip service? Is it just words that we say? Or is it about life? Is it about a new way of living? And I think what James is getting at, he says, he starts this whole discussion with, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So he's saying, what good are just mere words when somebody has a real need? And so he says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So he's getting at the real essence of faith. What is faith? And it's not just intellectual assent to a list of facts. It's not simply believing these things to be true. And he goes on to say, even the demons believe the truth about God, and yet they shudder. They haven't responded to that truth with a sense of faith. So he goes on to say, some of you will say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So he's saying, hey, I really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really believe that he died for my sins. I really believe that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised back to life. And in believing, I truly believe that my sins have been forgiven, that I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that I've been made righteous, that I have been made holy, that I have been made alive, and that Christ lives in me. And Christ has been doing his work in and through me. So let me just point you to some things that Christ has done to prove the reality of my new birth in him, the reality of the fact that I've been made new in Jesus. So he's just telling us that there's more to this word faith than simply the words of our mouth. It's about new life in Jesus Christ. And he gives a couple of examples, and he starts with Abraham, the father of faith. And Abraham, as we know, encountered God in Genesis chapter 12. A couple of chapters later, he started complaining to God and said, God, I don't have an heir. I don't have a true, genuine son of mine. And God said, you will have a son of promise. Well, we know when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, that they gave birth to Isaac. And that was a son of promise. And he came about in a way that only God could have brought it about. I mean, Sarah was barren, and Abraham was beyond years. And so that was a miracle. And then when God said, you're going to have this son, Abraham believed him, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So there was the belief. There was the faith. And then we see that faith in reality in chapter 22 of Genesis, when God says, sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was willing to do that, knowing, and the book of Hebrews really gives us some insight into this, Abraham reasoned that God could bring Isaac back to life. And in essence, that's exactly what he did when he provided the ram as the sacrifice, that God was going to provide the sacrifice. So Abraham didn't just give lip service to the fact that he believed God concerning the son of promise. That was a genuine belief that shaped who he was and shaped his attitudes and actions. And that's what faith does. It shapes who we are. It shapes our attitudes and actions. So we see a genuine kind of description of the essence of faith. Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then he goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works that were prepared beforehand in which we should walk. So Paul talks about works. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Well, this is the outflow of our faith in Jesus Christ. So he's just simply saying this is the essence of faith. If somebody says, hey, yeah, I believe the facts and that's all that it is, then they're simply giving intellectual assent. They haven't truly believed from the heart. It's from the heart that we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's from the heart that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we see the fruits of righteousness being lived out in our lives. So we're not the originator of these works. We're not sourcing these works through human effort. No, it's the byproduct of this union that we have with Christ and Christ working in and through us. So, John, hope that helps. Great question. Always good to hear from our listeners. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo.
Yes, I couldn't think of the word, but we got to talk, and Stephen and I did, and I said, alabaster. And he said, there is a verse in Matthew where this lady has a jar of expensive perfume in an alabaster jar, and she pours it over his head. I always thought that it was poured on his feet.
Well, there was one story where it was poured on his feet. And as you recall, the disciples were really mad about that, and in particular, Judas was mad about that because that was a very expensive perfume. It cost about a year's wages, and so Judas was thinking, hey, they could have sold that and had the money. And as we know, Judas was always putting his hand in the money jar, and he was thinking that would be a way for him to put some more money in his pocket. That was an anointing, basically, of Jesus in a preparation. And Jesus had very, very positive words about that experience. So that's what that was talking about. So
that's the main message of the Bible verse. It's not about the lady wanting to acknowledge Christ.
Well, yeah, it's about her recognizing who Jesus was and saying, "Hey, I'll give of everything to anoint him." This is kind of an act of worship, so to speak, and it's something that we all. Well, at some point in our lives, if we've come to Christ, we've already bowed the knee to him and said, you are Lord. And we believe in our hearts that God raised you from the dead. And so there's, you know, as far as we're concerned, we have already participated in that act of worship. And we are continuing in that act of worship as we offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto God.
Well, wait. Well,
Mary Jo, we're out of time on today's broadcast. We'll try to take up that question and give you more of an answer on another broadcast. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. This program has zoomed by today. We'll be back tomorrow for a teaching edition. And we will be going through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're in the section on freedom. So this is putting it all together, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be fully alive in Christ. Add those together and you experience freedom in its fullest measure. So that's tomorrow on Basic Gospel. We invite you to join us then. now for all of us at Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.